In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So two of the prominent themes of Great Lent are forgiveness and repentance. Should come as no surprise. A good portion of Lent, of the Lenten hymns, the prayers, the themes, a greater portion is dedicated to repentance, more so than our forgiveness of others. And not because one is more important than the other, but because repentance is so often much harder for us. On the whole, it's much more difficult for me to acknowledge my own sins than it is to see the sins of others. It's so easy for me to see somebody else's sins, and so hard for me to see my own, and to change my willful ways, and my own willful ways of thinking. And that's why the church spends the greater portion of its time during Lent on repentance. But on this eve of Great Lent, God invites us through the church, and really more than invites, God pleads with us, like the father to the older son in the prodigal son story, when he goes out and pleads with him, come back in and forgive your brother. God pleads with us to forgive those who have sinned against you, to forgive those who have sinned against your community, to forgive those who have sinned against your family and your loved ones. Any sin that someone has committed that has hurt you, the Father pleads and the Father begs you to forgive them, to forgive that person. Now, Jesus said in today's gospel reading that we heard at liturgy today, he says, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Period. Period. If you forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And then he says a second sentence. He says, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. It's not that God is unwilling to forgive or unwilling to forgive those who don't forgive. It's that his forgiveness has no effect on me if I don't forgive. It doesn't sink in. It doesn't have an effect on me if I am not forgiving all the sins that have been committed against me. It's two sentences about our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. If you forgive, you are forgiven. If you do not forgive, you are not forgiven. And it didn't matter, going back to the prodigal son story, it didn't matter how close that older son was to the father's house. He wasn't entering until he forgave his brother. I mean, he was close enough to hear the music. He was close enough to see and hear the dancing. I mean, so close he could probably feel the celebration in his bones, you know, like you do when you get near music. But he couldn't get in. He couldn't get that last few yards until he forgave his brother. Now, if you, like me, have trouble forgiving someone sometimes, there are a couple of things that you can do. And the first thing is to find good in that person. Find the good in them. St. Basil the Great teaches, it's one of the hardest things, St. Basil the Great teaches, if you see your neighbor sin, or if your neighbor sins against you, immediately remember the good that they do. The faster the possible, immediately remember the good that they do. Because nobody is all bad. You know, I'm not all good. Nobody else is all bad. So St. Basil says, remember the good in them because it's there. The good is there. And by remembering the good, you will remember the image of God in them and more easily and willingly let go of the pain they have caused you. And it doesn't really benefit them to remember the good that they do. In fact, it doesn't affect them at all. Really, that has nothing to do with them. They won't know that you're remembering that. To remember the good in somebody benefits you. It benefits you. It keeps you from seeing that person as just a sum of their sins. It allows you to see the complexity and the depth of their humanity as is known and loved by God. If you remember the good they do, it will change your heart. It really, really works. Find the good in that person and it will lighten your burden. Find the good in that person and you will see more clearly the image of God in them. And you will see more clearly the image of God in yourself by your ability to see the good in them. And the second thing you can do if you have trouble forgiving someone is not just to see the good in them, but to do something good for them, to literally do something good for that person. And this comes from the mouth of our Savior himself. Jesus says, love your enemies and do good to them. You know, we often forget the second part. We always remember Jesus says, love your enemies. He says, love your enemies and do good to them. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and who spite you. Do good. You know, don't just think about it. Don't just try to feel it, but actually physically do good. And one of the reasons Jesus teaches this is it is way easier to forgive someone if you're doing good to them. You know, try it sometime. Try it. Try doing something genuinely nice for somebody and try to still hold a grudge against them at the same time. It's darn near impossible to be doing something genuinely kind for someone and still hold a grudge against them. It's actually hard. It makes it hard to not forgive them if we're doing good to them. When we get our body and our heart and our mind all acting good towards somebody, we can't help but root for them at least a little bit, even though they may have sinned against us and pained us. And we're not saying we forget the pain. All we're saying is that we're turning the way we see it. We're looking at it from a different angle. Now, if there's someone you need boundaries with for safety's sake, you can do your good anonymously or through a friend or through a mediator. And maybe there will be occasionally one or two people in your life that the boundary of safety means that this can't work. But that's rare. That's rare. That's the exception. By and large, for most people in your circle, doing good for them is going to help you forgive them. It's going to help you see the image of God in them and see the image of God in yourself, because God himself showers blessings on both the righteous and the sinners. And Jesus taught us to do the same because it works. If the older brother in the prodigal son story, even if he wasn't initially feeling it, if he'd have brought a gift to his brother with some sense of genuineness, that simple act would have changed his heart. If he'd have gone into the room and said, you know what, I'm still mad, but here you go. Here's a gift for you. That simple act would have changed his heart. He would have eventually come to forgive his brother. He couldn't help it. And he himself would have experienced paradise. A good portion of Lent is dedicated to our repentance, to seeing and repenting of our own sins. But equally vital is what God presents to us today, that we truly forgive those who sin against us and against our loved ones, that we truly forgive them from the depth of our being, and that as we stand close enough to the gates to hear the music and the dancing and to feel it, the celebration in our bones, the church gives us this message of forgiveness that we might too let go and ourselves enter paradise. Amen.